For the next couple of months, I'm going to be spending time preaching from the Psalms. And, I love the poetry of the Psalms. I love the raw emotions that they convey, that they express. I also love that they offer hope. I love that they often convey hopelessness. But all in all, I love the imagery. I love how the Psalms describe the human condition, how they describe God's presence and strength, and even the feelings of isolation that we feel at one time or another. I think the Psalms are excellent as tools for inspiring us, for moving us and showing us that in our celebrations and in our despair, we're not at all alone. Others have been there before. Others have felt the same emotions that we have. God has been present, though, through the best and the worst times in our lives and the lives of others. But while the Psalms they're wonderful poetry, I don't think that they're good sources for finding God's promises. They share the beliefs of the writers. They share the feelings of the writers, but I don't think that they necessarily share universal truths. Let me give you a few examples. For instance, Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a promise verse. It's something you can look at and say, this is a promise. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That's a promise verse. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of your own doing. It's a gift of God, not of works. That's a promise verse. Psalm 88:14, O Lord, why do you reject me? Why do you turn your face away from me? Not so much a promise verse. Psalm 137, verses 8 and 9. O Babylon, Babylon, you will be destroyed. Happy is the one who pays you back for what you have done to us. Happy is the one who takes your babies and smashes them against the rocks. Not a promise verse. It's just something to keep in mind as I preach several times in the Psalms this summer. Well, today is excellent. Excellent music. Excellent confirmation celebration, excellent participation by our confirmands already, and more to come. An excellent time of praising God. We're praising God in our prayers, we're praising God in our songs. But that brings me to today's rant. I don't rant every week, right? But occasionally I'll rant as part of the sermon. But here, my rant is praise songs. I've heard and sung many of them over the years. I've heard traditional praise songs. I've sung traditional praise songs. I've heard contemporary praise songs. I've sung contemporary praise songs. And like any genre of music, there are what I consider to be really good and really bad praise songs. And then there are the whiny praise songs. Whiny praise songs really creep me out. And I'm not talking about the genuine songs of praise that, you know, sing praises to God and encourage us to, everyone who's singing, to grow in our faith. It's those overdone whiny ones that get to me. Like, this is not a real song, but something like this. Oh God, you're so great that I never want to do anything except look at you. And no matter what, you're in every one of my thoughts. I just can't do anything without asking you first. Should I have lunch right now or wait until later? When should I breathe in again? Oh God, you're so great. Okay, I'm exaggerating. I haven't heard that song before, but I've heard so many praise songs that sound just as sappy and ridiculous as that. I like a song that praises God. You know, it says, you are so excellent, but doesn't go right down the sappy and ridiculous road in the process. And then there's Psalm 8, this morning's psalm. In contrast to some whiny and sappy praise songs that I've heard, it's a praise song that does give me hope. I see a genuine awe of God and a genuine thankfulness of creation, but with a perspective that doesn't reach out and say, oh, humanity is hopeless or we can't do anything. I mean, God has given us minds. God has given us abilities. And this Psalm 8, there's this beautiful imagery and a focus on God. The words praise God and acknowledge how majestic, how excellent and wonderful God is. And it wonders why God, with all of the excellentness, I can't even say that, excellentness, I just made up that word, would even care about humanity, and it's thankful that God does. Psalm 8, it's a song of praise. It's a song, though, that has perspective. Psalm 8 is excellent. God is excellent. And you know what? There's some other things that I think are excellent. One in particular, it's the unexpected, it's the deep and profound thoughts that came from the minds of our confirmands. These words that I'm going to share with you, genuine words that the confirmands believe, aren't necessarily good sources to look for God's promises. It might be. Some of what you hear doesn't necessarily fall into the normally accepted beliefs of Christians. However, these words share the beliefs of the writers. They invite all of us to ponder what we believe and to be inspired and to be moved by what we have heard. Listen to what our confirmation students believe about God, our Creator, about Jesus, our Savior, and about the Holy Spirit. God created us for a reason. God will never give up on us. God is neither male nor female. God makes mistakes and also doesn't. God listens to you when no one else does. God hates no one. God forgives me and loves me all the time, even when I do wrong. God loves everyone no matter what. God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. God helps everyone and comforts everyone. Even if they don't hear a voice, they can find out what they need to do. Jesus is the Messiah and Son of God. Jesus cares. Jesus was not perfect because humans are never perfect. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice to save us. Jesus will return to earth again at some point to help us or to save us, and I don't know if it will be when I'm alive, but I believe he will come again. The Holy Spirit is always there. The Holy Spirit is the one who guides you and protects and helps to lead you down the right path, or that helps you make the right choice. The Holy Spirit is in everyone and is around everyone, even those who don't believe in God, because they are all God's creations and all need to be looked after. The Holy Spirit might as just well be air. Even if we start going down the wrong path, the Holy Spirit will help us turn around and go back. The Holy Spirit is alive no matter what happens. The Holy Spirit is alive with me no matter what happens. The Holy Spirit listens to you and goes wherever you go. People do not have to see God or heaven to have faith and to believe. I'm not going to tell you which ones I think are absolutely true and which ones fall outside. These are things for us to ponder. These are the writings of these profound thinkers. Writings that give us an opportunity to think about our own beliefs. And confirmands, you are excellent. I am so looking forward to being your pastor now, to being your pastor through your high school years, being your pastor beyond that. And today, it's a milestone, a good milestone. But it's not the end. You know that, right? Maybe people have said that before. It's a significant, it's an excellent day on your journey of faith. Everyone here has experienced a significant and excellent day on their journey of faith, or several of them. We're all continuing on our faith journey. We're inspired, we're moved, and we do get to learn about and experience God's promises. I hope that we can all continue on this journey together. We can learn, we can ask questions, we can doubt, we can cry, we can have fun and help one another. We can trust, we can live our lives genuinely loving God and loving each other. And when we do that, I think that makes God smile. I don't know what God's smile looks like, but I think that when we do that, when we say we're on this journey together, we're trusting, we're crying, we're asking questions, we're doubting, we're learning all at the same time. I think that God, who loves us no matter what, looks at us, the ones that God has created. And I think that God will continue to say, how excellent. Let's pray. God, thank you for giving us minds. Thank you for helping us as we go along life's journey. I pray that every person here, confirmation students, those who are being confirmed today, younger people, older people, as they continue on life's journey, would continue to walk closer with you, would continue to ask questions, would continue to know that they are loved. In Jesus' name, amen.